everyone. Hang on.
War Midwest Guys presents Star Wars Rebels Recon.
My name is Rex, Captain, 501st Clone Battalion.
I'm not afraid.
That's what worries me.
Lord Vader.
Yes, Master.
The rebels of the Lothal system. Hunt them down.
As you wish. Your master has deceived you into believing you can become a Jedi.
Things are getting worse just as they did back when I was your age. Back then, there were 10,000 Jedi Knights protecting the galaxy. Now,
there's just you and me.
All right, if I tag along?
The more the merrier.
Mission accomplished.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Four Midwest Guys Presents Star Wars Rebels Recon, the Season 2 review show. That's right. We're going to recap, basically, Season 2. We're going to look at our favorite episodes, our least favorite episodes. We're going to talk about our favorite character developments. We're going to talk about favorite moments. We're just going to kind of go over the entire season, just kind of briefly, and talk about it, and we'll also get into our questions / expectations for Season 3 towards the end as well. So, but with me today to help me out is Mr. Ryan Eckenbauer.
What's up?
Twan B, and my brother Aaron.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good. Glad to have you guys here. So, let's just talk about Season 2. We'll just start with the negative. Not that there were many negatives for me, but least favorite episode, Aaron?
For me, it would have to be the honorable ones. It was just the slowest one in the series. I clearly understand what they were going for in the episode, and they were trying to do backstory. And I actually think in terms of backstory, they did really good with Zeb this season. But for me, this episode was so slow, and it just...
You didn't like the whole...
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
I liked it in theory. I just don't like it in execution. Like,
really?
Yeah. I kind of liked it. It was like the bonding and the rivals.
Yeah, I see where they were going with it. I liked the concepts. Mm-hmm. I just don't like the execution of it. Like, I really found the space chicken dinosaur things kind of
annoying. Thought they were kind of cool. The beak T-Rexes?
Yeah, I didn't really dig them. I thought it was a little too slow-paced. I liked where they were going within concept.
Yeah.
Like, I liked the concept, you know, honor among warriors and rivals and... You know, that kind of
contrast between the Empire and the Rebels.
Yeah, and you know, that kind of, there's, you know, pain on both sides in terms of war and both sides sacrifice sort of thing.
Right.
Could you see that with Callus in the episode a bit? But just in terms of execution, it was just too slow an episode for me.
Did we see what happened to Callus? Or did he just kind of fade away for the season?
He pretty much went to his bunk with his shiny new rock, and that's the last we saw
him. Yeah, he pretty much disappears after this episode.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think about. If we saw it, so...
It's pretty much Inquisitors from that point on.
Right, so we really didn't see...
Yeah.
So there was no reason to get a backstory of why Callus is...
Well, that's one of my issues with the episode as well, is like, you don't really have any build-up to Callus as a character up to this point, and then it's just all at once, and then that's it.
Well, I think we're going to see more of him next season. And we kind of highlighted it on the podcast for that episode. I think he's going to turn. Or at least at some point he's going to start helping the Rebels. Because I think he's kind of seen both sides of the... defense, so to speak.
Alright.
That's just me. I know.
No, that's fine. I'm just restraining myself.
That's okay. Go ahead. What's funny?
No, I'm trying to avoid making a shipping joke, so.
A shipping joke?
Yeah.
Oh, because I work for DHL.
No. Just different thing. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Alright. So, Eckenbauer, what was your least favorite episode this season?
I'm actually in the same boat as Aaron.
Really?
That episode was really slow.
Wow, guys are surprising me. Okay.
That added to the fact that there was no payoff for that episode.
Oh, I thought there was.
There was...
You have, like, Callus kind of looking really bummed out at the reception he got in comparison to the reception Zeb got. That's it in terms of payoff.
Well, yeah, it's kind of an
awakening. Then he has his radioactive rock, and it's just shiny.
Yeah, and there was, but there was no, like, even future where you can see Kallus maybe possibly changing or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't see any of that, so it was just basically like a, just a, oh, I made a wrong turn in the plot, so back to the main story. I mean, that's what it felt like to me. It just didn't have...
It was kind of a one-off. Like, it seemed just really rushed for that character.
And it was very, very slow. Plus, we'd already, we had, at that point, we had already gotten the Zeb backstory, right?
We had the Luthal one.
Yeah, so... Yeah, for me, this...
Like, it added it to it a little bit, but not
it
a
was
whole
so,
lot.
This one was so slow for me that that's...
Wow.
That's okay. The one I had to pick.
All right. I've, like I said, I've always seen that episode as the sowing of the seeds for...
We might see a payoff for it down the line.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
The thing that bothered me so much is just Kallus wasn't developed at all as a character before this point.
Uh-huh.
Like, you didn't really even slowly build him up. It's just like, in that episode, you're trying to throw it all in at once. And that's really what I think bothers me about that one and why it didn't work. Like, I understand it, and, you know, in storyline.
In just theory,
Yeah, in theory, I get it. I see where they're going with it. Mm-hmm. And I actually think it was a good choice. Just in terms of how it actually worked out, I just... didn't like it.
Okay, fair enough. I understand. Alright, my least favorite was actually a little different, and I consider this the only real true filler episode so far in the series. That was aka, that would be the Call, aka the Squales episode, which is
really?
a dear favorite of my brother's.
Oh, yeah.
See, this is why I like that one too. Yeah, that was a great episode.
I love the Squale episode.
You're so full.
That's the first episode where you see Ezra really connecting with other creatures outside of the one spider when he, you know, or one creature when he was turning towards the dark side.
He's connected with cats, Lothal cats, and stuff like that.
A little, not much. Like, this is the first time you really see him intentionally doing it. Like, it's really kind of the start of part of his story arc.
I don't know. This one, like I said, this is the Star Wars episode that felt more like Star Trek than Star Wars to me. And it felt like a Greenpeace episode. To me, it didn't have anything.
Hera didn't like him either. She wanted to kill him.
Well, I realize that, but there's nothing in this one other than, I mean,
you find out where the
gas mine is,
where the hyperspeed comes from.
Yeah, yeah, possibly, and that they're gears of the hyperspace lines.
Yeah, just people just keep hitting them. I keep waiting for that to show up. Just them, someone ship going into hyperspace, and oh shit, we hit a Squale.
I just don't... Yeah, I don't understand it. I don't see how this helps anywhere down the line. I don't see a connection. Even though Dave Filoni keeps saying that there are no filler episodes and that they will all serve a purpose down the line. Sorry, this one serves no purpose.
Maybe this is like the honorable ones where maybe we have to wait to the next season to see when the greater payoffs from this.
Yeah, maybe there's like a Squale army.
Squale army would be better than somebody hitting one in hyperspace and saying, there's the connection.
Just Ezra just starts leading an army of squales.
That would at least be a somewhat better payoff, yes.
He becomes Squale Boy.
Squale Boy. All right, favorite episodes. You know, I will... I think we all have the same one, or at least the same one of mine.
Finale. Go,
yeah, Twilight of the Apprentice. And I also added Shroud of Darkness, which was the Jedi Temple episode. Yeah. What do you guys think?
Yeah, that's probably for me. The only one that might come close is the Luthal episode, or the backstory for Zeb episode, where it really goes into like the alternative uses of the Force, or the culture's alternative takes on it.
That was a good one, too.
Where you see Zeb being like a conduit for the Force.
Through the Force,
For me, that was like a really cool episode, because that hit all the points like I find interesting in terms of like backstory and mythology.
That expanded the mythology, too.
Like, it took, like, different, you know, cultures interpret the Force differently and use it differently.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I love the contrast between how the Jedi used the Force versus how his culture used it. Where in his, it's really, they are a conduit for the Force to move through rather than wielding it. Yeah, like, that's a really fascinating contrast.
It's almost like the Force is using them. And stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, interesting.
Like, they're opening themselves up to, you know, be, like...
greater than themselves.
Yeah. Like, they're opening themselves up to be controlled by it, almost. Or, you know, used by it.
Like their moment of zen, so to speak.
Like, it's kind of a cool little contrast, and it's nice adding that to the Star Wars mythos.
I couldn't agree more with that. Excellent point. Brian?
Yeah, the finale.
The finale, yeah.
It's
an amazing episode.
It had
everything.
Plus, it was a longer
Yeah.
So
it's one of the few episodes where it finally hit that 40-minute mark where you're like, yes, why is not every episode this length?
Yeah, I mean, so, and it had great lightsaber scenes, which is why I look, like, you know, that's what I look for in Star Wars, is lightsaber scenes.
And I mean, we saw so many new lightsaber types in, you know, in the season, and especially in this episode.
And that's what I was trying to think if there was any other ones that just stood out. I mean, there's scenes that stand out for me. Mm. Like, you know, when Ezra goes into their, like, rage mode,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, he's just going after everybody, and they have to, you know, they have to close the door to keep him from fighting the Inquisitors.
Yeah, that was a good moment.
You know, that was an awesome moment. There's a bunch of them, but as far as full episodes go, the finale is probably my favorite.
It had so many great moments, so many awesome fight scenes. And, I mean, there's some episodes where we're like, it kind of seems like they cut the budget a little bit here in terms of animation, and with this finale, you kind of see like where that went to.
You got your payoff.
The reason why they ran real weird on that Squales episode.
Yeah. Like the animation on that, I liked the episode, but the animation on it was a little glitchy at times.
Yeah,
and you could see that it definitely had a payoff. How could you not like Twilight of the Apprentice? A Sith Temple. Darth Maul, Holocron, Darth Vader.
I think you mentioned this on our review of it. Like, you would have almost enjoyed to see that, like, as a standalone film. In, like, theaters.
This, Brian said, I said add an hour. Brian said even add a half hour. Put it in the theater.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. It's rich with storytelling. The tie back into the Clone Wars, the Ahsoka, my God.
Also an addition of, like, some of the old EU, some of the Knights of the Old Republic. Ties in a lot of things that, you know, were kind of cast out when Disney took over, so it's interesting seeing it, like, kind of reintegrated within the universe.
Oh, absolutely. And Shroud of Darkness was another good one, which was the Jedi Temple for Season 2. That was a good one.
Yeah.
You got to see Kanan go up against his old nemesis and as a temple, as a Jedi Temple guard, which he originally was, which was turns out to be the Grand Inquisitor.
That's a nice little kind of thing that kind of got worked in there. Yeah. Like, that's a cool little backstory moment.
The back and forth with Yoda was awesome with Ezra. And then, obviously, Ahsoka finally coming to terms that Anakin Skywalker is Darth Vader.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, going back to Twilight the Apprentice, that moment when she cuts off the part of his mask and you see that part of his eye and just that anger.
Talk about Star Wars geek out moment.
Yeah, I mean, you can make the argument, like, Twilight the Apprentice had actually one of Vader's, like, top 10 moments where he was like, then you will die braver than most. Like, that is a great line.
There's great line, great dialogue. The battle damage Vader, where you get to see half of his eye, his real eye, and half of his real face. And hear, you know, Matt Lantern's voice again, which was Anakin Skywalker in the Clone Wars. Tie-ins everywhere. Just absolute Star Wars geek out moments.
Yeah, I mean, said this over and over again. This has done so great at tying the Clone Wars into, like, A New Hope and the original films.
I really, really wish that they would give, and this is kind of going off on a tangent for a second, but I wish they would give Dave Filoni one of the standalone films. I don't care what you give him.
Mm-hmm.
Just give him something.
Well, I mean, with how well he's done Clone Wars and this, it seems like he could do a lot.
Oh, he understands. He understands how to tell a story. He understands how to build it up, how to create the suspense.
So would you give him a standalone movie that we've already been told about kind of thing? Or would you give him a standalone movie from his Rebels to make a live-action Rebels?
Oh, that's a tough call. I would do either or. I think he could do wonders with that.
Because he seems to know a lot about, you know, he knows his character really well.
Yeah, I think he could do even well. He's also a big Star Wars fan, so.
Yeah, if you wanted to do, like, a prequel sort of thing, he might be a good person to cast. Like, having some of the Darth Sidious sort of films, or something.
Give him the young Han Solo film. Absolutely, that's right up his alley as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, I would love to see some sort of a Rebels live action. Hell yes, I would. It would be kind of different because it had to. I don't know if they would have put Freddie Prinze as Kanan necessarily, but
I don't think he'd do bad. He'd probably have to get it in better shape for it. But
well,
by a whole lot.
You'd probably have to recast some people, and that might be a little weird. But
yeah,
but as far as directing and storytelling, this guy knows it all. He's learned at the feet of the master. You know, George Lucas, for as much crap as George Lucas gets, Dave Filoni learned from George Lucas. George Lucas even said, when he took on Dave Filoni kind of as his apprentice during the Clone Wars, he said, I'm training you to tell Star Wars stories after I'm gone.
Yeah. Because there can only be two.
Yeah.
Right, a master and an apprentice.
Yeah, it's weird Lucas took the Sith approach, but okay.
Yeah. Okay, George Lucas. Crazy whatever, bastard.
That's whatever he wants to do with it.
But, well, you know, I just want to just have one. No, you know, it. So, yeah. So I'm done with my little side tangent, sorry, but...
No, it's fine.
But yeah. Okay, so...
Well, I mean, that kind of calls into the question of, like, how they are actually going to deal with the characters and what happens to them once we start going into A New Hope territory.
Well, you can clearly... Yeah, you can clearly see that a lot of time and effort, not only by the overall now storyboard that controls everything, but by just Filoni and his team and how much thought and effort is put into every episode and how they use that to build towards our climax this season. Another episode that if I had to bring up in my top, if I had like a top three, would be the season opener was awesome. With they first introduced Vader.
Oh, the
not to be
Vader
overlooked
fighting like Kanan.
Kanan and Ezra, and how he pushed, you know, Ezra's lightsaber up to his neck.
Well, yeah, and he has like pretty much just lifts
the entire two walkers fall on him, and he sits there with one hand, force lifts it and pushes it off him. Just badass. Sorry.
Yeah, to be honest, I think in a lot of ways this makes Vader look a lot cooler as a character than the Clone Wars did.
Well, yeah.
In a lot of ways for me.
Well, it's better because this is Vader in his prime, right? Mm. This isn't Vader who's looking for his son and having attachments back, a callback to the light side.
Yeah, this is Anakin it's not even Anakin, it's
dark.
Post-Anakin in the prime of what he, you know, the legend of Vader became.
He is as dark as Vader. Yeah, he was going to kill Ezra if Ahsoka had shown up. There's no doubt in my mind. You know, that's just how it is. So, absolutely excellent. So, moving forward. Next part, character with most development in season two, other than Ezra, because we know Ezra's obviously he's the main focus, so.
Yeah, I think I've heard rumors they're gonna, like, use Sabine more heavily in the third season, mm-hmm. but.
Yep.
Or at least I think Filoni's been commented on saying that.
Yeah, they're going to explore the... I've heard that too. They're supposed to explore the Mandalorians a little bit more.
Yeah, but that's for later in the podcast.
Yeah. So, but yeah. So, Aaron, what character other than Ezra do you think developed the most in season two?
For me, it'd be Zeb. Like, you saw really a lot of backstory, a lot of cultural history. Like, you really added a lot of things to the Star Wars mythology with Zeb, mm-hmm. and you really see the character expanded as being more than just kind of the brute on the team.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I did a really good bit with that. If there was any other character that came close, is they brought back Darth Maul, and I think they're using him in a great way for the season finale on this.
Oh yeah,
and I think that's something that's going to lead up to and is going to be awesome, because I mean I love Darth Maul from episode one, and he got cut down so quickly. I loved seeing him come back in Clone Wars and now again in Rebels, so that's also pretty cool.
Yeah, it's
good. But yeah, with Zeb, I mean, you really saw him like expand as a character this season.
No, absolutely. Brian?
I agree. Zeb was one. I'm going to go off on a weird one. I'm going to say Chopper.
Okay. Yeah.
I can see it.
So you had Chopper gets a friend.
Yeah.
Chopper, you can see that he's his own robot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not a slave droid.
Yeah, he thinks for himself. He saves the day on multiple occasions.
He's a free thinker. We see him at one point blasting guns. You know, he flies the ship when they need him to. He makes decisions.
He shoots guns even.
Yeah,
he pilots the ship
and TIE fighters too.
Yeah, I mean, it's just his development. He's actually become a crew member as opposed to like an R2-D2 type.
Yeah, to be honest, I think you make a really valid point that even in terms of like comparing him to R2-D2, he's much more crucial in a lot of ways. Like, he makes a lot of own decisions. He's not just following orders.
Yep.
He does a lot.
Yeah, I agree. He is, he's definitely come a long way. He's no longer just the annoying droid as he kind of was in season one that didn't always obey orders. I agree. Yeah. That's a very interesting choice and good point. I wouldn't have thought about it until just now, actually. My pick would be Hera. We got to see Hera develop with her dad. We got to see a background story of with her father. We got to see her, you know, pilot the first B-Wing.
Yeah.
So we also get to see her take on a more leadership role with the Rebellion.
Yeah.
She transitioned the group of from the small band of rebels that they were into the greater
rebellion. Yeah, she almost comes across as like one of the leaders of the greater rebellion.
Yeah.
Like, and almost even within like the larger group seems to take on an integral role.
Yeah, I mean, in season one she seemed more of like the mother hen, and this one she's more of a leader overall. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, she's definitely kind of running the show, more or less, in regards to the rebellion.
Yeah, because she even got Kanan to come around and say, I, you were right, you know, we should...
Yeah, he was very reluctant to kind of be part of the bigger group. He didn't want to be part of a war.
Right, exactly. She kind of brought him along, too, so that would be mine. So, okay, so favorite moments, guys. So this is pretty much just kind of a miscellaneous. So anything in season two?
I think we're probably going to go over a lot of the lightsaber fights and a lot of the lightsabers. The Ahsoka versus the two Inquisitors. I can't remember the episode it is, but she's trying to help Ezra escape, and she starts kind of running interference, and you kind of see her. Yeah. Like, that was a really great episode, and you started seeing Ahsoka, like, how far she come and her fighting style. It was a good episode.
I love that line she says, too, because she, like Vader would say, she goes, you are beaten at the end.
Yeah, like, and even Ahsoka, even in the last episode, had that great line, is, I'm no longer a Jedi.
Yeah.
Like, in regards to, revenge isn't part of the Jedi way.
Yeah, Vader says, even Vader throws it back in her face. She's like, I'm no Jedi.
Yeah, that was... Ahsoka had a lot of great lines this season.
Oh, yeah. Brian?
I have three general. I don't have specifics.
Yeah,
there's just so many.
Sure.
One is lightsaber scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Two would be all the different planets we have to see this.
Yeah.
You know, talking about expanding the universe.
Mm.
We got tons of planets, tons of solar systems, tons of... Even they did... What was it called?
Wild Space.
Yeah, Wild Space.
Yep.
We got that. And then my third would be the introduction to all the ships.
Yeah.
We're actually seeing the formation of these, the Rebel fleet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we see that with a lot of the ships. The
like
droids.
You said, the B-Wing.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the carrier.
Yep.
We saw the freighter.
Yep.
Yep.
You know, there's just tons of these vehicles that they're throwing at us. And it's just, that's one of my favorite parts, because as a kid...
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the toys you had,
toys,
and you can you carry them around in your hand. You're running through the house and everything else. So to see that kind of stuff come up here, stuff we haven't seen before, and you're like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, the nostalgia moment.
Yeah, and especially like I said, the one scene. I actually wish we would have gotten to see it every time we got a new vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Got to see it like pull into the fleet,
mm-hmm.
but like when we saw the carrier, and it pulled into the fleet, and you see all the ships around it. And it was just one of those, like, oh, my God. It was like, like you said, one of those...
Nostalgia moments.
It was one of those, like, Star Wars geek-out moments.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. My, obviously, the Ahsoka-Vader fight scene. Every line in it, you know, like we were just talking about. Just how Vader interacts with her. Even when they first meet, it's like Vader's like, we don't have to be adversaries.
Mm.
It's like the Emperor's already set him up. He's like, he said, it was foretold that we would meet. So obviously somebody told him, so I'm assuming it's the Emperor kind of set him up for...
Well, that's what you generally assume with Vader being set up.
So Vader is your favorite moments?
No.
Shocking.
No. Oh, I know, right?
It's not like you had a favorite since childhood.
I know, exactly. It's not like you're a Vader fanboy.
Okay, well, I don't throw temper tantrums like Kylo Ren yet. Maybe.
Oh, well, you don't have a functioning lightsaber yet either, so...
I'll get there. Give me time. But yeah, that was the highlight of the moment, just because of everything I'd seen in the Clone Wars all those years, and then you get to see that re-interaction. The battle damage Vader, I mean, come on. You know, it just...
Yeah, that was pretty badass.
Yeah.
And you see you have that same kind of look in his eyes as you did, like in... Mm-hmm. Was it the last of the prequels where he actually goes on a killing spree? Like,
yeah,
it was berserk.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was that one where the rage just took over?
Yeah,
right. And the eyes red, the Sith eyes, as I like to call
like them. All the blood vessels burst in his eye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. So it's just badass. It's the best moment so far in the series, obviously, in my opinion.
Well, there was a lot of great scenes in terms of like lightsaber stuff. Like, you have like Kanan go blind and he start having that Zatoichi moment. Like, that was really awesome against Darth Maul.
Was very cool. And
We have a lot of new lightsabers this season. This is the introduction to the helicopter blades.
season two of the year of the lightsaber.
I still have mixed thoughts on the saber blade, saber copters. But
in terms of
saber chopper?
Yeah, saber
chopper. Yeah, but I think one of the funny things is, like, I think we were talking about how they have that little twirly bit on, like, the Inquisitor's lightsaber, and you compare that to Darth Maul, where he just does it by hand.
He does it by hand.
And it almost makes them look like training wheels.
Well, like they basically are, because they're not as strong.
Yeah.
And that's why Kanan and Ahsoka can defend themselves against the
Inquisitor. Well, you saw Maul just completely just pick the Seventh Sister up and just hold her there.
Yeah.
And she was helpless.
Yeah.
Completely.
And Maul was, it was like he was multitasking. It reminded me of like when your mom's in the kitchen and she's cooking, but she can tell you something else while she's flipping through, like, pass me the sugar as she's flipping through the book. And you're like, what are you even? And then you hand her to her and she's still flipping through the thing. She pours it in the bowl and hands it back to you. You know?
Yeah. Yep, that just shows you the difference between an Inquisitor or just a Force user and an actual Darth or an actual Jedi.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at Darth Maul, he actually fought like Emperor Palpatine himself.
Right.
Like, don't get me wrong, he didn't win.
Because he was a, what was he? He was a, not a challenger.
He was a rival.
Rival, yeah. That's what it was.
Right. So, but yeah, I mean, he's a badass. Even at half himself.
Yeah.
You know, he literally is. So let's get into probably what everybody's waiting for us to talk about, and that would be season 3 expectations/questions. So I've just kind of compiled a list here, so we'll just go around real quick here.
Alright.
Now, are these yes or no's?
Well, they could be, there'll be yes and no's and why. So we'll probably kind of interview each other.
It's an essay response.
It can be. So let's start with the big one. The big one would be Ezra. Is he or is he not turning to the dark side?
I'm going with no.
Not at all?
No. I think you see him trying to take advantage of, like, what he learned from Maul, of trying to actually get in the mind frame of a Sith user.
Mm-hmm.
And I see him trying to go, to be honest, this entire season, I'm expecting them to go, like, with a transition to a gray Jedi. And I think we've seen that a bit with Kanan at certain parts, and I think we might be seeing that with Ezra.
Are you sure, though? Because, I mean, once you start down the dark path, forever will it dominate your destiny.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's been the main thing, but we've also seen the Greys exist in the EU, and I know that's not a faction you like. I understand that, and you like the concept of him kind of transitioning back and forth. But, I mean, that is something we see in the EU, and that's something the show's been good at, is integrating things that have kind of been expelled out of the EU and putting them back in.
Okay. All right. I'll buy that, maybe. Mr. Eckenbach.
Yes, he's going to the dark side.
Okay.
I don't think there's any question about it. I think from what has been set up, where he talked about we've already chosen to fight, we've already, you know, that now his friend, you know, his teacher was just blinded by Maul, so now revenge is on his mind.
So yeah. Do you think he'll actually become like Maul's apprentice, like Maul wanted?
I don't know if that's going to be the case, but he is going to be on the dark side. He may not be Maul's apprentice, per se, because he knows that Maul's the one that hurt Kanan.
Yeah.
But I think he'll be a dark side wielder, and I think that's why, I also think that Kanan's going to die in the next season, but I also think that's why there are no more Jedis.
Okay.
Because if you think about it,
Yoda thinks he's gone. He's gone over to the other side.
Correct. Okay. So he's not a Jedi because he's on the dark side and he deals personal, you know, like revenge and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You got Ahsoka, who, that's another question on here, but thinks she's alive, but she's not a Jedi.
Yeah.
So when they say there's no Jedis, it's one of those, there's no true Jedis, but
there's a lot of Force users.
Yes.
Not Jedis.
Yes.
Okay.
Interesting.
That is a nice little tangent to kind of allow them to continue to exist throughout the original films.
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to, believe it or not, little brother, you may not believe this, but I think next season, I don't think he completely turns to the dark side. I think he does stay in kind of a gray area in a similar way that Anakin Skywalker is in the Clone Wars.
Okay.
He turns duh.
He's
not dark.
He's leaning. He's leaning. He's leaning heavily. He's leaning enough where he's learned how to open.
So you think he's still being tempted by the dark side?
Oh, very much so. I think.
So you don't see him starting, as like being a gray as much as like just being in that temptation.
Just like in the Clone Wars. Okay, we saw there's an interrogation scene with Anakin and the head bug of Geonosis. He force chokes the bug, and it's clearly a step closer to the dark side. And in the same way, I think Ezra is learning enough, and he's dabbling enough in the dark side that's how he's able to open that Sith holocron. Because
so in your mind, it's turning to the dark side one small step at a time.
One small step at a time. Not to say that he can't correct course down the line and turn away from it, but I think because even
so, you think he's power hungry.
I think he will become more powerful.
Well, he does seem that way in the season so far.
He was like that before, and now I think it's going to be even more. Because even Ahsoka said, you'll never get that open. Mm-hmm. And Maul even, I think there's even another reference, only a Sith. That Vader even said, how did you do all this?
Mm-hmm.
When he got to the top of the temple.
Well, I mean, pretty much the entire season finale, you have Maul coaching him through like some of the basics of like using his anger.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So,
and Ezra picks up very quick.
Yeah. Yes, he does.
And even Maul looked at him the first time as like, ooh.
Right.
Yeah, there's a reason Maul's like, I will take you as my apprentice.
Yeah. And you can destroy the Emperor. I have foreseen this. Yeah, kind of thing. But yeah, very much so. That's kind of where I think he's at.
Okay,
so next up. Kanan, obviously, being blind, or maybe temporarily blind, however you want to look at it. Is he the blind? Will he be the blind master? Or do you think it's going to cripple him and maybe demoralize him?
I actually see this as being like part of his development where he actually uses his advantage later on. Like, I'm not sure if he'll be as mission heavy as much as he is just combat use, but like he might not be able to run in the same ways or, you know, kind of go through corridors as easily. Mm-hmm. But I think you do see him like using the Force and tapping into it in a kind of a daredevil sort of way.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's fair.
He taps his lightsaber, he's like,
well, I meant like he starts viewing things through the Force or through his like other senses, but yeah, that's an option as well. Just keep burning things along the way.
Brian, what do you think? You think blind Jedi Master, or maybe he just becomes depressed and becomes kind of goes away for a while?
So, I actually see him being one of the, I think he's going to, I don't know if he's going to, he won't go away, but I think it's his slow demise. Mm-hmm. Like, he'll still talk about the Force, he'll still wield it now and then, but like Aaron said, he's not going to be running down corridors, he's not going to do a lot of things that he was doing prior, he's going to become more one of those teachers, if you
like
will.
Like a sage, almost.
Yeah, so, and I also think that this is going to allow the Hera and Kanan's storyline to
become closer
because it's going to be before, you know, they were butting heads going one to the other. Now he's going to have to kind of lean on Hera
to help him.
Yeah, it also could be setting up for Sabine to have more action.
And I also think that's the reason why he's going to die. Just FYI.
Copy that. You know, I would say I think it's going to be both. I think at first you're going to see some episodes with him absolutely struggling with us until he finds a way to adapt. I think eventually, with maybe Hera's help, and I think that's a valid point, Brian, now that I think about it, and probably the help of the rest of the team, he's going to develop into the wise master. He'll have, like you said, Aaron, he'll have to use the Force to get by.
So it would be kind of like a story arc sort of thing throughout the season.
And I think the other thing you're going to see at the same time, while Kanan's dealing with this, Ezra's going to be kind of off on his own, almost unguided, and that's probably going to have him lean even heavier towards the dark side, or he'll have to figure things out on his own.
Well, either that or you have like a couple episodes where you have like Kanan have that kind of off on his own trying to develop his skill set, kind of like a Once Upon a Time in China sort of story arc.
Yeah, because, you know, and he's obviously not going to be leading missions, like Brian said, but Ezra probably will. So Ezra's going to be on his own, you know, and until he gets back from the mission, he's not going to have much contact with Kanan.
Well,
so
you know, the other thing I was thinking is
for guidance.
With that, like with the whole guidance thing, if you know somebody can't see you, are you really 100% focused on what they're talking about? Or is it going to be one of those things where Kanan is really focused and he's like, this is what you need to do, and you see Kanan kind of sitting there just like with the Force kind of just flinging rocks in circles. You know what I mean? Like, he's really not paying attention.
Yeah.
Like, what do I have to learn from this guy? You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've already learned as much as I can. He's not going to be able to teach me everything. And
right.
Whether it's the rebellion phase.
Yeah. It's possible. In fact, I would say that's probably likely. To what degree, I'm not sure, though. We'll see how far they take it.
Yeah.
Okay. Darth Vader. Will we see more of him in Season 3? And will he be changed after his encounter with Ahsoka?
I think we'll definitely see more of him. Like, there's no way, like, we've amped up to where we have in this season and not see more of him. As for whether it'll be changed, not really. To be honest, I think if you look at where he is since the end of the Clone Wars and up until A New Hope, you really see him being kind of a constant state of, you know, where he is. Like, he's a not-changing kind of force.
Mm, okay. That makes sense. Brian?
I don't see him changing.
Okay.
However, I do think we're going to see a lot of him. And I actually think the season finale for Season 3 is going to be Vader versus Maul. Mm.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get that fight.
You think he's going to go against Maul instead of, like, the Emperor or Obi-Wan or anyone like that?
Yeah, I 100% think it's going to be Maul versus Vader.
Okay.
I got a theory on that too.
That's
the next question.
Kind of. Is it really?
Yeah, in a way.
Oh, but anyway, that's my thought on it. I think that's how we're going to see the progression, and we're going to see Vader be a badass. You know, several episodes in the beginning. I mean, maybe we're not seeing every episode. He's not going to be main. He's not main cast.
I think it's going to be like Season 2 was.
But I think the finale we're going to see is
Maul Vader.
Vader. It's either going to be the finale.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's going to be somewhere leading up to the finale.
Okay.
Yeah. I think you might see a little bit more of him, but I don't think you'll see a terrible one. I think kind of like in Season 2 this season, you'll see him at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You might see him in a few small scenes in the middle.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be every episode.
And then at the end, you'll see him a lot.
Yeah.
That's just my guess, though. They may decide to put him in a lot more episodes. If they do, great. Mm-hmm. I'll be the first one to say... Absolutely.
Are you going
to
do a Vader backstory?
they've already done that.
But you know what I mean? Like, it's like, if he becomes one of those, like, all the cast members this year got backstories.
So now this is what Vader does on his days off.
Yeah.
That's how he relaxes now.
They show him making prank phone calls.
Although, you know, I will admit, the one thing we haven't seen, and it's actually legend, would be Vader's castle, which is kind of cool looking, if you've ever seen pictures of it.
But, Vader has a castle?
Yeah. And it's on a planet with acid rain. It's crazy looking.
Oh, I think I've heard about it, but I don't know.
Yeah, and I've only seen like drawings of it.
It's so part of you wants to see that, like the next.
Oh, year. Absolutely. That
we storm Vader's castle.
It's badass looking. Anyway, I'm starting to have like a Castlevania kind of moment over here. Anyway,
the video game is running in your head.
Except
it's Vader's castle. As far as is he going to be changed after his encounter with Ahsoka? Maybe a little bit. It may actually empower him more because he may be that much more enraged. Mm. Especially if she survived. We don't know if she survived or not.
Well, maybe because he's training more. He realizes somebody got the advantage of him, so now
maybe
I got to work on that.
Or he's, you know, or if, you know, because I think Ahsoka reminds him of everything. She knows not only everything he used to be, but what he's become. Like, by the time he gets to Luke, Luke's kind of a blank slate. Luke has no idea what he's done.
Yeah.
You know?
Or Ahsoka is his last tie to the light.
To the light, right. So he's going to want to extinguish it. So he could be that much more powerful by the time we get to Season 3. I don't know.
Okay.
Okay, so next question, which kind of leads into the Maul. Darth Maul, or now Maul, what role will he play going forward? Tempter to Ezra to the dark side? Main villain? Master to Ezra? What do you think, Brian? I'll let you go first on this one.
Well, I'm going to go back with the... Yeah. He's going to fight Vader, so he's going to be a villain, obviously. Like I said, I was hoping that we wouldn't see that villain turn. We would have saw him play on the good side for a little bit, even though he had a back, you know, a hidden agenda.
Right. Playing along.
Yeah. As far as if he'll be a main villain,
Because, I mean, they're really the... We've kind of run the mill with the Inquisitors. I'd be surprised if we see Inquisitors next
season. Well, then we'll probably see you. We'll see what the last four we got. So we have last four at least.
Maybe, but they're becoming, I don't know, non-sequential. It's like...
Well, no, I'm not saying they're... But maybe we'll see. Maybe Kallus will be the one of the main villains in this. Or maybe we'll see somebody else who... Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't see Maul being the main villain. I see him being a villain. And like Vader, will come in and out of episodes depending on what the story dictates.
Yeah.
Master to Ezra. I don't think I'll be a master, but I think an enemy of my enemy is my friend.
An attempter.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. Aaron, what do you think?
I think we'll probably see Maul kind of in and out, kind of trying to build up his army, trying to build up a power, try to run up something to where he can kind of get an advantage on either Vader or Palpatine. Because I don't imagine him attacking, like, say, Kanan in order trying to take, like, Ezra on as an apprentice, like, right away or anything like that. I mean, if you look at how his arc was in Clone Wars, where he built up that giant army to kind of fight on his behalf, I wouldn't be surprised if you see him doing something really similar to that throughout Rebels.
Okay. That's interesting.
As terms of, like, being a master to Ezra, not necessarily, but I think Brian has a good point that he might be assisting Ezra at some point, or there might be times when they're paths cross, and there's a mutual benefit to working together.
Yeah. I think Maul could possibly be the main villain going forward. Or at least for a season. It depends on how long they want the series to go. I could also see Maul as maybe not a master to Ezra yet, but definitely a tempter to Ezra. And constantly tempting Ezra, constantly being, you know, basically being the Emperor, like the Emperor was to Anakin, you know, Maul will be to Ezra, sort of thing. As far as getting into theories, because Brian, you brought in Maul versus Vader. Here's my theory on this:
that Maul becomes Snoke.
Possibly, like he keeps getting deformed, he keeps losing limbs, and he just becomes all disfigured, and he just survives and he creates the Knights of Ren.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry,
that's all right. And this kind of goes. The next question is: Ahsoka alive or dead? I think she's alive. Number one. Number two. I think you end up in a situation where Maul kills Ahsoka, and then you end up with Vader seeing Maul kill Ahsoka, and you see Vader versus Maul, and Vader takes out Maul.
Okay. Do you think, like, Vader's, like, angry about him taking out Ahsoka?
Yeah, because...
Because he wanted to?
Not only did he want to be the one to be... Because he's got two kinds of emotions going on. He has Darth Vader, he's going to be the one that wants to destroy her. Mm-hmm. And number two, as whatever's left of Anakin is obviously going to be pissed off, too.
Yeah.
So, okay. It's going to be...
That'd be a cool scene.
I think that would be a nice little epic way to end Ahsoka, give Ahsoka the end. Because I really feel like we didn't get enough of her in season two to really say she's dead. Well, she didn't really
even come in until about mid-season.
Really. Well, she did come in at the beginning. They revealed her. But they didn't use her a lot, and I really didn't feel like they fulfilled her character, her role.
Oh, well, she's definitely not dead. We saw her walk.
Maybe. Was that her or is that her Force ghost? You know, that's what people are saying.
I think,
imagine it's her.
I think it's her. We haven't seen Force ghost yet.
Yeah. I think it's her, too.
Yoda, but that's kind of good.
But Yoda's not a Force ghost.
Not yet.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. He was a vision.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think...
He's a projection sort of thing.
But yeah, I think... So, but now I'll lend that, is Ahsoka alive or dead to you, Aaron?
I assume she's alive. To be honest, if they didn't literally showing the character getting killed on screen like they did with Droid Commander and... Sharkhead. I imagine they kept on going. Like, the 8th Inquisitor, I imagine he's still kicking somewhere. They might not show him in next season, but I imagine he's still running around. So, yeah, I assume she's alive.
I like how you call him Droid Commander and Sharkhead. That's nice. Brian, I think you already answered, but I'll go ahead and
listen. Yeah, I've already answered. But I think she's alive.
She's alive. Okay, so there is a rumor, so spoiler alert possible, that Grand Admiral Thrawn, or Grand Moff Thrawn, is going to make an appearance next season. For you, those of you who do not know who Admiral Thrawn is, he is the first major villain in the first set of novels that was released after Jedi. So basically, once Jedi ended, until they started making the prequels again, they came out with a long series of novels and books, and this was the first trilogy of books they came out with, and this was Grand Admiral Thrawn, who in the books was blue with red eyes, blue skin. He was the only alien in the Empire to be that high up in the Empire. He didn't have any Force abilities, but he was like a brilliant tactician and strategist. So that just gives you guys a little bit of background. Brian, any credence to you of seeing Admiral Thrawn in Season 3?
No.
Okay.
Wasn't it just put out that they think that Thrawn is in Rogue One? Rogue One?
Yeah, but nothing's confirmed.
Huh?
Nothing's confirmed.
Right. But so my thought is, if they want Rebels to run multiple seasons, and Rogue One is in, and he's in Rogue One, I don't think he'll be in Rebels this soon.
It's hard to say.
That's my take on it. Because plus the guy who they think is Thrawn in Rogue One is in blue. He's a white guy.
Yeah, he's in white. Well, he's in the books. He's blue skin.
That's what I'm saying. So he's blue in he's blue skin in the books. But the guy who they're thinking is Thrawn in the movie is white.
He's white, right? Which is possible because he is a Legends character now, and they can do whatever they want. However, I would love...
They can change him.
But I think...
You're a frog.
I like the idea of blue skin and red eyes. I just think that's badass. Aaron?
I'm actually not familiar with a lot of the EU books, so I'm not really sure, like, how to expect him. In terms of whether he could show up, possibly. He could even show up in both this and Rogue One. Mm-hmm. To be honest, Rogue One should probably be right around where we are now in Rebels, maybe a little down the road. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
And to be honest, we don't know how much longer, in terms of season-wise, Rebels is going to be running before we start hitting A New Hope.
Right.
And we don't know whether it continues beyond that point, whether it ends there and it transitions to a different Disney show that's in between, like, a different set of films, or where we're going with that. So, it's all kind of up in the air from my end.
Okay. My take is, I think we will. I think they are going to bring him back. I think you're going to need somebody. I don't think you can have Vader in every episode, and I don't think you can have Maul in every episode, necessarily.
Callus hasn't really been and that Callus, great villain either.
Yeah, Callus, I think, has begun the turn, honestly. So I think they're going to have to introduce somebody new for the Empire, and Thrawn would be a very cool pick, and it would definitely be a great bone to throw once again to the Legends fans out there, which they've done a lot of and so far in Rebels. So I think it's, if I had to put a percentage on it, I'd say 85%. I think he might show up next season. So so we heard that voice in the Sith holocron. So my next question to you, start with you, Brian. Should they bring back a Legends character, a Sith Legends character, through the Sith holocron? And if so, who would you like it to be?
Who are the Sith Legends?
Well, like Darth Bane, who created the Rule of Two. Darth Revan was another very popular Legends character. Some sort of past Sith Darth.
If they're gonna do anything like that, I would hope. That the holocron allows kind of like Force ghosts.
Yeah, like a Sith.
Except
spirit.
Sith spirits. So they're red.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Kind of like the holograms we saw, and make them red.
Yeah,
and
we saw a bit of that maybe, in Clone Wars.
And they have the knowledge.
And maybe they're tormented. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, I don't know about tormented, but
in your head, it's like, yes, live through eternal hell.
Well, essentially, they get lost to the dark side, so it is eternal hell. But yeah,
but maybe they come out and they give it, not advice, but guidance for the dark side,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, kind of how to do this or how to do that.
Manipulation.
They can have, like, projections of themselves talking and interacting with other beings.
Mm-hmm.
You have that, or even, you know, allowing the holocron or holocrux or whatever it's called to kind of allow them to take over, like, certain machines or something. Would be kind of a cool feature.
I would also, like, maybe to do flashbacks.
Mm. Yeah, that'd be nice. Like, kind of tell their origin stories for that.
Right, so you
vision through the force.
Yeah. Right. So you hear the voice of one of these Sith legends,
mm-hmm.
right? And it sounds like everyday person, me or you, talking and saying this is what needs to happen. And then maybe Ezra says, you know, well, how did you become this?
And then it goes
and it shows a flashback scene of this person
in action
and everything else, and how they, you know, how they essentially died or whatever to mm-hmm. become part of the.
Yeah. Kind of have like a backstory episode for it. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be cool.
That'd be very sweet, actually. I thought about that. That'd be sweet. Aaron, what do you think?
There's not really any particular Sith I have in mind for them bringing back. The voice definitely seems female, so I wouldn't be surprised if that's what we end up seeing in terms of like what the Sith is or who the Sith is. But outside of that, yeah, I think Brian has kind of a cool idea about it. You can have it kind of create a backstory for that character. They can pass on like legends of the Sith and information and like their philosophy and kind of go into that sort of detail and kind of be a slowly corrupting influence on Ezra or anything along those lines.
That's cool. Very, very cool. I would love to see Darth Bane, who created the Rule of Two and was pretty much wiped out every other Sith in order to create the Rule of Two. So he's a very powerful Sith. So we've already seen him, a brief thing of him in season 6 of Clone Wars.
Yeah.
He was kind of very cool looking. I would like to see that brought maybe a little bit more of him, or Darth Revan, who's a very popular character for a guy who went between dark and light and back and forth quite mm-hmm. a bit. So that would kind of fit Ezra's predicament. Yeah. So I would like to see that as well. That would be kind of cool. Next question I had was, will we see the Sith Holocron used again in another Sith temple or facility as a key? Just real quick, what do you guys think?
Yeah, I think so. I think that'd be one of the definite storylines of having that you'd want to go with, is that mm-hmm. it'd lead to other temples and
other facilities. Yeah. What do you think, Brian?
I don't know if it's going to be using other facilities or whatnot, but it's definitely going to be a key component,
a teaching tool
for Ezra.
Yeah,
whether it's to talk to the legends or whatever, or if it's just the guiding pulling factor that helps Vader keep trying to find him, that he's trying to find that piece.
He wants that Sith Holocron.
Right.
That makes sense. That'd be cool. One question that's not on here, but I'll throw it out there. So we got Rogue One coming out. They just released the trailer, teaser trailer.
It has Poe, but not Rey.
Somebody who looks a lot like Poe, which I think is a mistake. But besides that, so with Rebels and Rogue One pretty much being very close in the timeline, do you see Rebels handing off to Rogue One in some fashion? And if so, do you believe that they'll start the season earlier? Maybe they'll start it in the middle of summer and go all the way to December.
You mean like a Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of thing where they interact together?
Yeah, where they something and it leads up to...
Well, didn't the one of the writers in Rogue One actually do write a couple episodes of Rebels this
upcoming
season?
Yeah, he is, yeah. Which makes me wonder if they are going to do that, then does that mean that we're going to maybe get Rebels Season 3 earlier, so that they can complete Season 3 before Rogue One comes out, maybe.
It could be a thing where maybe it just ties into it maybe towards the end of the season, or maybe we'll see it about the mid-season sort of thing where it'll start tying into it.
Like a mid-season finale?
Yeah, something like that.
All right, Brian, what do you think?
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
However, if they do, I think the only kind of tie-in you're going to see is possibly our group of Rebels in a big meeting and them talking to a group
about the mission.
About the mission, and then you see maybe one or two characters that are in Rogue One kind of in that group. We don't really meet them, but we see that group take off in their own ship.
Yeah, and that's there might be like a slight reference
and,
to
and,
it,
and that's the only interaction we get, and that's the start of their journey. Mm-hmm. And who knows where Rogue One picks up? Mm-hmm. If it's going to pick up, you know, later on in like several of their journey, and we see several characters add in later,
yeah,
or if it's going to be, you know, we see Rogue One at the beginning of their journey. So I think that's the only kind of tie-in they're going to do. Only reason why I say that is because as soon as you tie in a TV show to a movie, mm-hmm. you're locked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which means Rebels really can't go too many places because they're locked into a... They're tied into something currently happening.
Yeah.
Whereas Episode 4, yes, we know it's down the road, but...
We could jump over it.
We can sideswipe it, mm-hmm. right? And we don't have to go years at a time for seasons. Mm-hmm. They can go weeks. So we can expand that that range between us and Episode 4, or we can sideswipe it because now you have Ezra, who's not a Jedi, maybe. Mm-hmm. We have Kanan, who could possibly not be a Jedi anymore, mm-hmm. per se. You know, we could sideswipe it and have their own kind of side story.
Well, yeah. And the other thing to consider there with the whole Yoda thing is Yoda doesn't say anything about Luke being the last of the Jedi until Return of the Jedi,
mm-hmm.
right before he dies. So, therefore, we've got a lot of time. Not only can we go through Episode 4, but we can show all the way, in my opinion, up to Jedi if they want to take it that far.
Do you think they'll actually continue Rebels like throughout like Episode 5?
I would love to see it. I would love to see what happens between Episodes 4 and 5.
Mm.
You know, maybe they help establish the Hoth base, you know, the Hoth. Mm. You know, who knows? There's plenty of stories to tell, and there's plenty of time frame in there that's unexplored.
Okay.
You know, there was a, it's now a Legends book as well. It's, what's it called? Not Heir to the Empire, but Shadows of the Empire, where the Emperor releases essentially like a Force-sensitive, basically like an Inquisitor to try to hunt down Luke Skywalker. So why not apply that storyline to Rebels and twist it a little bit, obviously. Use bits and pieces of that. They could be the ones, you know, keeping this other guy occupied.
Okay.
While Vader is on the hunt for Luke by himself, you know. Things like that. There's plenty of time. If Disney, I hate to say this, if Disney has the balls, they can do it. And I think Filoni could tell the story easily.
I don't know, but I think, in their defense, I think once you get in between Episode 4 and 5, I think you have the restraints of what you can actually do become a little tighter as well.
Well, a little bit, but there's nothing to say that, They can mention Luke blowing up the Death Star, but that doesn't mean that they can't be on the other side of the galaxy on a completely different mission.
Would you see like Luke actually being on an episode of Rebels down the line the same way we saw Leia?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And the Rebels are at their base just watching the TV and they see Luke come across the news.
Well, yeah.
Local farm boy breaks
or terrorist blows up Death Star or battle station, you know, something like that. But that's how the Empire would frame it anyway. But yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, I think there's plenty of time. There's plenty of stories to tell. So it's a big galaxy, and we've got wild space. They could send them into wild space for a season. For God's
sake. So all of a sudden, becomes Star Wars Lost in Space.
Yeah.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger.
I think at that point you need to rechange it from Rebels to Star Wars Wild Space.
Yeah. Danger, Ezra Bridger. Danger, Ezra Bridger.
It'd be kind of cool.
Nothing like that, but it could be cool because you'd have complete freedom to write whatever you want.
Relics of the Force out in like the wild space.
Yeah,
yeah.
You could tie it. Remember, it's all one big story. So
yeah, it's a big universe. And in terms of timeline, it's quite large. It's infinite almost.
Absolutely. All right, so we're almost up to an hour. So time for final thoughts. Okay, Aaron, final honor.
In terms of grades, decent B. I mean, we had a lot of backstory building. We had a lot of, you know, mythology building. A lot of great action comedy. The characters really developed. And it was just a great season overall.
Copy that. Brian?
Yep. I'm gonna give it a B plus, somewhere around there. You know, my top three, man. The lightsaber scenes were tremendous. We got introduced to new planets, new creatures. We got new spaceships, which was awesome. We did see the development of a lot of characters due to the fact that we had what felt like 17, 20 minute episodes of backstory this season. But yeah, I mean, for it being a cartoon, it really has captured
your imagination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. For being something that's, especially since it's on Disney Channel, you know.
Right.
It's just one of those things like, wow, you know, this the creative team behind this is just amazing. And it's funny because I can't, to be honest, little kids watching this.
It gets kind of dark. It really does.
Just because of the way we talk about it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I just can't see. I can't see a kid.
You don't see little 8-year-olds just nerding out about
it. No, I don't see them going, "Oh, Ahsoka! Look at that! Blah blah blah! Look at Maul fighting the Inquisitors!" And I just don't see that.
Although, you know, it's funny. My 6-year-old, Uchi, is there a new episode, Daddy, of Rebels this week? You know, and she sits there. My kid doesn't sit through anything.
Well, that's because she's been watching since she was 2.
But she's been greenwashed. Well,
exactly.
Besides that, she's enthralled from the time and sometimes she gets scared, she'll huddle up against next to me. We watch it together, but she watches it all the way through.
Caitlin does the same thing.
And they're 10.
But it's just one of those things, like, I just don't see them getting as deep stuff as we get.
Oh, no.
For me, I think it's the...
You can enjoy it on multiple levels, though.
Yeah, I think... It's almost as when we watched the original trilogy and our imagination for going,
wild.
That's what they're doing with this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easier for them because it's a cartoon.
Right.
For them to be just into it and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I can see that, but with as much detail as we talk about it, it's hard for me to see them.
Well, yeah, for us it has deeper meaning.
Yeah.
And it does a very good job of doing the duality. It captures the child's imagination, but for the older fan and the hardcore fans, it's great too because it just builds on that world, that mythology that we all love.
Yeah.
Real quick, my final grade, A+.
Shocker.
Most of these episodes are mini Star Wars movies, minus one. The rest.
I think this trailer was great.
I think mini is definitely a key word there because.
Yeah, they're too short.
That's our biggest complaint.
Yeah, it's my only complaint. You know, it's I could even come to love the squales. It's
you do
just,
love the squales.
Just make it longer.
These are the squales you're looking for.
A+. Hats off once again. Can't say it enough. Hats off to Dave Filoni and his whole creative team, Simon Kinberg, anybody else that's ever worked on Rebels in any way, shape, or form. Well done, mastered. Love it. Keep it going. Keep it going beyond season 3, please. I can't get enough of this stuff. So there we go. So where can you find 4 Midwest Guys real quick? Well, you can find us on YouTube now by searching the number 4 Midwest Guys. You can find us on iTunes, same way, searching the number 4 Midwest Guys. We're on Stitcher, we're on OneCast. If we're not on an app, let me know. We continue our Twitter quest. I know we're up over 900 on the main page. Brian, you're approaching 2,000 or now over 2,000?
Yeah, I'm over 2,000 now, so we're doing pretty good.
Sweet. So keep up, get your friends involved.
Yeah, feel free to share, review, all that fun stuff.
Make it awesome. And other than that, you can also find us on facebook.com/the4MidwestGuys. You can also reach us via email, the4MidwestGuys@gmail.com. Just please reach out to us with your questions, your comments, and everything else. We'll be back as soon as whenever season 3 starts, we'll be back with season 3. Right, guys?
Yeah, we'll be back. And I'm going to guess we'll probably have a couple Star Wars specials here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, with Rogue One trailer dropping and, you know, Rogue One coming out.
I could definitely see a couple Star Wars breaking news episodes coming down the line.
Yeah.
And some specials. So. All right. Well, Brian, thanks for joining us, sir.
Thanks for having me, man.
And Aaron, as always.
Yep, no problem.
All right. And for B. Willie saying, may the force be with you. And also, no squales were harmed during the recording of this podcast.